I would like to ask for help to live as a lay person. Ti Sol asked, and Tam Dayu answered. Translated by Nguyen Jack. Inquiry. I would like to ask the monastics and lay followers, hoping that you can answer them for me. I was born in 1991. As of this writing, I am 27 years old. My life has gone through some ups and downs, so I realized the impermanence of life. Just a few years ago, after some good and knowledgeable people showed me the path of Dharma, I felt that Buddhism is always what I have always been looking for in my heart. I took refuge in the Three Jewels last year. Recently, I wanted to resolve my future path to live as a lay person. Today, any dignitary who reads these lines of mine, please tell me besides paying filial piety to my parents, keeping the precepts, and practicing 10 good karmas, what rituals should I have to live like a lay person? And if so, who will I have to meet, or where do I have to go to do it? Sincerely thank you for reading these lines of mine. May you always be diligent and peaceful on the path to enlightenment. Sincerely.
I would like to answer your questions. Question: how do I become a Buddhist? Answer: in the numbered discourses, the Buddha taught, whoever vows to take refuge in the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha, that person is called a Buddhist. The original vow to become a Buddhist is, I now follow the Buddha, I now follow the Dharma, I now follow the Sangha. It also means one seeks protection in the shelter of the Three Jewels. To follow the Buddha is to follow the path that the Buddha completed and taught to the world. He witnessed the sufferings of birth, old age, sickness, and death and gave up worldly life to practice and realize the truth of dependent origination, non-self. To follow the Dharma is to learn the Four Noble Truths, to practice the precepts, concentration, and wisdom, to seclude from the desire, and hence to get rid of suffering. To follow the Sangha is to follow the living way of the community of the Buddha's noble disciples who seclude from the desire and live in the spirit of six principles of harmony, i.e., precept concord, living concord, idea concord, beneficial concord, speech concord, and thinking concord.
Question: those are the Buddha's words. However, I want to be officially a Buddhist, a true Buddhist. What should I have to do? Answer: since Buddhism is primarily a voluntary change of mind, there is no coercion or manipulation. People from other religions convert to Buddhism often by studying Buddhist scriptures, understanding the profound essence of Buddhism, and practicing the way of enlightenment. A Buddhist is literally someone who attends a ceremony to receive the three refuges. A Buddhist is a person who already took refuge in the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. Taking refuge means going back and taking refuge. But where do we return to, and what do we take refuge in? We return to Buddhism and rely on the Three Jewels, i.e. the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. This Dharma name is the official name of that new Buddhist, expressing his or her acceptance of spiritual dependence on the Three Jewels. Taking such refuge means joyfully accepting the guidance of the precious Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. The precious Buddha means all the Buddhas. The precious Dharma means the Buddha's teachings, the three baskets of scriptures. The precious Sangha means the community of monastics who go forth, seclude from the desire, become pure practitioners, and represent the holy monastics of the three periods of time to lead the Buddhists on the path to enlightenment. Taking refuge in the three jewels is that we take refuge in the Buddhas, Dharma, and Sangha. In fact, the Buddha did not say that we should take refuge in the Buddha, but he taught that we should take refuge in our own self-awareness. Enlightenment is the Buddha's treasure. The Buddha means enlightenment. Taking refuge in the Buddha means taking refuge in one who attains enlightenment. Thus, taking refuge in the three jewels means taking refuge in the inner three jewels, that is, returning to one's own inherent self-enlightenment. The Buddha means enlightenment, the Dharma means righteousness, and the Sangha means purity. Taking refuge in enlightenment with your inner mind, you will see that delusion could not arise, that you will live with contentment and without craving, that you will easily seclude from material possessions and beauty, and that you will be called an honorable being in the human and heavenly realms. Taking refuge in righteousness with your inner mind, you will see that the wrong views could not arise in your thoughts. Hence, you will see the non-self in you and others, will seclude from haughtiness, craving, and attachment, and will be called an honorable being of desirelessness. Taking refuge in purity with your inner mind, you will not cling to anything in the three realms and will be called an honorable being among all beings. Taking refuge in the precious Buddha means that you turn away from the ignorant mind state and rely on the enlightened mind. Taking refuge in the precious Dharma means that you turn away from the state of mind with wrong views and rely on the right knowledge and right views. It also means you rely on the teachings in the scriptures to purify your mind and to correct wrong activities in body, speech, and mind. Taking refuge in the precious Sangha means that you turn away from the polluted and discordant mind to rely on the pure mind and the six principles of harmony for Sangha. Therefore, the basic condition of Buddhist learners is to turn away from delusion and wrong views and to return to taking refuge in enlightenment, righteousness, and purity. Thus, take refuge with the self nature of the three jewels. The real refuge is the Dharma because, through the realization of the Dharma, Buddhists will become free and be liberated from suffering. The Dharma includes the cessation of suffering and the path to cessation.
Question: I have been given the three refuges to become a Buddhist. Is it necessary to receive the precepts? Answer: besides taking refuge in the three jewels, every Buddhist also needs to know and strive to live from one to the whole five precepts of lay Buddhists. These are: 1. Do not kill. 2. Do not steal. 3. Do not commit sexual misconduct. 4. Do not lie, slander, talk more or less deviously, speak bad words. 5. Do not use intoxicants to dull the mind. The Buddhist scriptures say, the precepts are like the flat ground, from which all good things arise. Precepts are like good medicine, curing diseases. Precepts are like bright pearls, wiping out the darkness. Precepts are like boats, carrying people across the sea. Precepts are like a necklace of precious stones, adorning the Dharma body. Therefore, receiving precepts is necessary. If you think that you can keep any precept, just ask to receive that precept. Buddhism is the path of purifying the mind. Thus, if you receive a precept, you ought to keep it properly. That is why Buddhism does not force young children to take refuge and receive the precepts, because they are not wise enough to realize the importance of the promise. People who receive the precepts must be mature and have thought carefully, then they can keep the precepts without breaking them.
Question: if a person has received the three refuges and five precepts, should he or she be a vegetarian? Answer: new Buddhists do not necessarily have to be vegetarian. However, scientific studies show that eating affects humans psychologically and physically. They believe that vegetarianism is very good for both physical and mental health. For Buddhism, vegetarianism has three benefits. First, it is cultivating compassion. An animal also has a father and mother like us. How can we be willing to take its life and nourish it for ourselves? Second, vegetarianism helps us to avoid retribution by not creating causes killing sentient beings. Remember that cause and effect all follow like a shadow. Third, vegetarianism cultivates the mind of equanimity. The Buddha taught us not to kill living beings and asked us to respect and protect animals because all sentient beings have the same nature. They also have the right to live, the right to share a part of the environment on Earth, where humans are living. During a Dharma lecture, the Most Venerable Thich Tri Tnh, when asked about this issue, explained very specifically, Buddhists should know that if you want to have the meat to eat, you must kill. If you don't directly kill, you will have meat by asking someone to kill. So eating meat is the cause of killing the lives of animals. Buddhists should not eat all kinds of meat, no matter what kind of meat, from pork, beef to shrimp, snails, etc., because they are the flesh of living beings. Thus, Buddhists who have taken refuge and taken the five precepts are encouraged to be vegetarian. But if you can't be a vegetarian because of a problem in the family or of a particularly difficult situation, you should eat a vegetarian diet twice or four times a month. However, do not directly kill, and do not ask others to kill living beings.
Question: please tell us about the steps of Buddhist practice. Answer: all the Buddhist scriptures have the same goal of advising people, avoid all evil, diligently cultivate the wholesome, purify your mind, and stop your mind from wandering. Not doing evil and diligently doing good is the common goal of most religions and civic education lessons in many countries. However, the advice of purify your mind, and stop your mind from wandering is the core of Buddhism, the ultimate goal of Buddhist practitioners. This stage is usually reserved only for those who are determined to practice for liberation, ending the cycle of reincarnation right in the present life. Those are the monastics who have cut the worldly attachment and gone forth, or anyone who goes to secluded places to diligently practice the Buddha's teachings. They often practice in their secluded hermitages for many decades, with very little contact with people outside. Most of the retreats following this method last about one or a few weeks so that meditators get used to the monastic lifestyle, live in mindfulness, stay awake, and stop the mind from wandering. They are short retreats, or quiet mind courses, which give busy people a chance to relax their minds. Buddhist teachings are divided into five steps of practice as follows. First, human vehicle. It is the first step in transforming a bad person into a good person. People who practice the human vehicle must take the three refuges, taking refuge in the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, and keep the five precepts, which are, 1. Do not kill, 2. Do not steal, 3. Do not commit sexual misconduct, 4. Do not lie, slander, talk more or less deviously, speak bad words, 5. Do not use intoxicants to dull the mind. Second, heavenly vehicle. This higher practice requires one to do 10 good deeds. 1. Refrain from killing living beings, release caught beings, and do not eat meat to avoid indirectly causing sentient beings to die. 2. Refrain from stealing, make gifts of mercy to needy people. 3. Refrain from committing sexual misconduct or indecent behavior. 4. Refrain from lying. 5. Refrain from fabricating false information, and just tell the truth. 6. Refrain from saying cruel, vulgar, or abusive words to others. 7. Refrain from fabricating to cause conflicts among others. 8. Live in contentment, and refrain from craving. 9. Behave gently and calmly, and refrain from anger. 10. Refrain from delusion, always act mindfully and ethically. The two stages of cultivation according to the human vehicle and the heavenly vehicle above have the purpose of transforming the karmic stream and will give Buddhists good retribution in the relative world. Third, Sravaka vehicle. Those who understand the Four Noble Truths and practice successfully the Noble Eightfold Path taught by the Buddha will realize the peaceful and quiet nirvana. Fourth, Pratyeka Buddha vehicle. It is the practitioner who cultivates himself according to the method of contemplating the 12 dependent originations, which are 12 interrelated stages that arise in the stream of life that begins with ignorance. Due to deep contemplation, the meditator finally awakens, realizing that this phenomenal world exists only in relative terms and in interacting with each other, and that its nature is emptiness, not self. From this enlightenment, the meditator is able to put an end to delusional thoughts about a world that seems to be real, let go of attachments to what has been thought of as self, be liberated from greed, hatred, and delusion, and will realize the peaceful and calm nirvana. Fifth, Bodhisattva vehicle. They are practitioners with the aim of liberation, but they are different from those in Sravaka vehicle and in Pratyeka Buddha vehicle. Practitioners of the Sravaka and Pratyeka Buddha vehicles have the goal of attaining the peaceful and calm nirvana. Practitioners of the Bodhisattva vehicle realize that all sentient beings, including themselves, are of the same nature, so they make a vow to attain enlightenment, refrain from staying in secluded nirvana, and continuously return to the world to help save all beings. Called the Great Compassion, This vow arises from the realization that all sentient beings, including themselves, are of the same nature. Practitioners of the Bodhisattva vehicle walk on the path of the six paramithas, crossing the sea of samsara to the shore of complete liberation. All the spiritual practices such as generosity, precepts, patience, effort, meditation, and wisdom are practiced by followers of Bodhisattva vows with the intention of realizing the three wheels of emptiness and stillness. That is, after doing a good deed, you see all things are let go of immediately and see nothing cling in the mind. To give an example of the perfection of giving, the giver does not see that he or she is giving, fear of giving rise to pride, does not see how much or little the giving is, fear of generating boastfulness, and does not see anyone who receives gifts, fear of generating gratitude. In short, Buddhism has 84,000 methods of cultivation, to be compatible with different mentalities and conditions. Not everyone can enter a secluded place to practice Buddha's teachings. On the path of the way to reach the other shore, there are steps that are closer and more practical to daily life. The Bodhisattva path is the door for those with altruistic hearts to practice the way. King Asoka in India and several kings of the Li and Tran dynasties in Vietnam centuries ago were great practitioners while ruling their kingdoms. Many Dharma protection works by those kings are still honored to this day. King Luang Vioda, Emperor Wu of Liang, Crown Prince Luang Chiumin, Crown Prince Zhao Ming, in China and King Tran Nan Tong of Vietnam were also dedicated and knowledgeable Dharma protectors. Buddhism believes that many Bodhisattvas who have attained enlightenment are reappearing in this relative world by their great compassion. They work in all sorts of jobs and live in tough environments to convert and help sentient beings. In many sutras, the Buddha taught Buddhists about daily life, living in a family with parents and children, and practicing the Dharma. Practicing the Noble Eightfold Path, Buddhists work hard in business, have a healthy and prosperous life, and save money to do good things such as publishing sutras to propagate and uphold the Dharma. To protect Dharma is to offer gifts to the three jewels and to give others the Buddha's teachings. To help others is to provide others with the gifts of mercy.
Question: What is the essence of Buddhism? Answer: Buddhism aims to help sentient beings overcome their afflictions and suffering in order to have a peaceful and free life. But sentient beings must learn how to let go to reach this goal. In the collections of Middle Discourses, the Buddha summed up the essence of Buddhism in a very brief sentence for those who want to walk on the path to liberation and enlightenment, which is: nothing whatsoever should be clung to. Pali, Sabbadhamma Nalam Abhinaviseya. The Diamond Sutra says, "When your mind clings to nothing, the mind of nirvana appears." Thus, your mind should not cling to anything and should not give rise to any discriminating thoughts when the six senses, eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body, and mind, come into contact with the six sense objects, form, sound, smell, taste, touch, and dharmas, and bring about the six consciousnesses: visual consciousness, auditory consciousness, olfactory consciousness, gustatory consciousness, tactile consciousness, and mental consciousness. That is, letting go of all delusions. Question: How to practice not clinging to anything? Answer: If your mind is attached to anything, you will be caught in this realm, and suffering will come. The Buddha was not attached to anything. The Buddha only taught the practice of letting go. All members of the Buddhist Sangha from ancient times to the present day have practiced non-attachment. The Buddha taught about non-attachment as follows: when your eyes perceive an object, there is only what is seen. When your ears perceive a sound, there is only what is heard. When your nose perceives a smell, there is only what is smelled. When your tongue perceives a taste, there is only what is tasted. When your body or skin perceives a feeling, there is only what is felt. When your mind perceives a thought or a mental object arising, there is only what is thought. This means that the thought of discriminating between good or bad, like or dislike, should not arise. Liking something is a condition to desire it. Disliking something is a condition to hate it. Desire or aversion are defilements arising from greed, hatred, and delusion. Not letting these defilements arise in the mind, that is, not clinging. Not giving birth to more lovers or haters is non-attachment. Practicing this will bring peace and happiness. This is a very concise and straightforward practice that is said to be excellent. If your mind still clings to something, even to the good or even to this idea of no clinging, defilement will arise, and your mind will become impure. Clinging to anything is carrying a burden on you. Whether carrying a bag of gold, silver, diamonds, or gems on your shoulder or on your head, it is as heavy as carrying a bag of sand and stones. According to the Buddha's teaching, don't carry sand or stones, gold, or silver. Let's put them down. Do not place anything heavy or light on your head. Head, here, means mind. Remember, nothing whatsoever should be clung to. Purifying the mind has that same meaning. First, avoid evil deeds. Second, do good deeds diligently. Third, purify your mind. That is the Buddha's teaching. Excerpt from The Layman's Handbook.